Hey, everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rock podcast. I'm back with Dorinda Wilson, and we're talking about her new book. It's called Raising Boys to Men, and it's a fantastic book. I've gotten to look through it. I actually, as we're recording this, I don't have my hard copy yet because it's not available yet as we're recording. But now, as you're listening, it is available. And yes. So you can have your very own hard copy of Dorinda Wilson's new book called Raising Boys to Men. It is a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. And if you're a boy mama, there's nothing better than having the help of someone like Dorinda, who has raised 5 boys into adulthood. And she is just a blessing. She hasn't just raised them, you guys. She has raised her boys to follow Jesus, to lead their families well. It's so much fun as, you know, Dorinda and I have known each other for many years. And so we've spent a lot of time with their family and getting to just see their family and know her adult boys and how they're now leading their families. And so the proof is in the pudding. She's actually done this, you know, with the help of the Lord, of course. She has done this successfully. And so, you know, you're listening to someone who the Lord has really used to help raise up this next generation of kids. And so, Dorinda, thank you for being with us today. If you missed Mondays and Wednesdays episodes, go back and listen to those again. Before we get back into our conversation, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great, biblically sound homeschool curriculum for your kids, any subject, any grade, check them out, bjupresshomeschool.com. You can do video-based learning. They teach worldview, obviously, a biblical worldview. They teach critical thinking. I mean, they're solid. And so check them out, bjupresshomeschool.com. I know that at this time of year, lots of you are thinking about what you're going to do next year for schooling your kids. And you're trying to figure out like what curriculum worked this year, maybe something that didn't work so well. And so you're looking for something different. If you have not tried them out, try them out, bjupresshomeschool.com. Also, thank you again for those who continue to support the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry. We are so thankful for you. If you've not watched the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, Dorinda and her family are in there. There's a couple clips of them. And I think my favorite shot of your family is we were at your house one night and you're all sitting around your fire pit on your front porch. And your family was just like, your kids were just there, like hanging out with each other and you and Daryl and just loving each other. And it was just such a sweet picture. And the funny thing is that it was not scripted. Like we were not like, okay, we want you to sit here and you to sit here and right. You to sit here. Like you guys were just sitting around like you do. And you were just loving each other and hanging out around the fire pit. And so somehow Garrett captured that on video. And it was just a beautiful scene. And so that's kind of always how I picture your family. I know that you know, all the relationships aren't perfect all the time and everyone's living the perfect life, but it's really neat to just see how the Lord has used you and Daryl to speak life into your kids. Mm-hmm. And so as we're talking about boys, you've done a fantastic job with that. So thank you for that. But if you haven't seen the movie, watch it. You can watch it for free. Schoolhouserocked.com. Just go to our website, click on the watch the movie. It's free. You guys can stream it and be blessed by it. And do I Spy with Dorinda Wilson and her family while you're watching the movie.
Right?
And also leave a review for the podcast. We are so grateful for those of you who do that. That's just another great way that you can support this ministry. So anyway, Dorinda, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
Of course. So fun. I love sitting and chatting with you. Let's talk about homeschooling boys. And we've talked a little bit about that. We talked about yesterday the difference of mom helping the boys and how, you know, girls are more relational. Boys need to conquer whatever it is that you're giving to them and kind of moving them into those teen years where you're just like, okay, it's on you now.
Right.
But I want to talk a little bit more practically, maybe even starting with the younger grades of like, what does it look like practically to homeschool boys versus girls? Not that we have to park on what it looks like and you know, opposition right. to the girls, but talk about homeschooling boys specifically. How do moms do that effectively?
Right. I think it's important to single out that topic, especially since that's the topic we're talking about and the topic of my book. And I think it is good to stop and think about some of the differences and to recognize that there are things that they do and ways that they learn that might not be typical for a girl. And I think one of the number one things is physical activity, especially in the early years. They still need it as they get older, but not as much. Those early years, there is a reason that they are wiggly. God has put that in them. Now, do they need to eventually learn to sit still? Yes. Do they need to do it all at once right away. No, 8 hours in a classroom. I think that is the worst idea ever. I don't know who thought of that, but they weren't thinking about boys when they did that. And I'm telling you, I use the word toxic environment because it is so against the nature that God has put in these boys. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful thing that they want to run and play and be energetic. Now, granted, sometimes we have to redirect that energy if it's going a wrong direction and they're not riding the ship with our instruction, then we're going to turn to things like some chores and some things like that that they need to do in order to sort of redirect their energy. And we can tell them that, look, you're not putting your energy in a good direction. And I've given you some warnings and you're choosing not to listen. So the consequences are, this is what you need to do. I need you to do this job. And when you're done with it, you can go back to what you were doing before. But remember what I told you about, you know, not doing this, that, or the other thing. But anyway, so the energy level is really important. Now they can sit down for a few minutes and you can slowly build that time. Over months and months, you know, you can build that time if you want to. But here's the thing, when they're very young, they tend to be a little bit behind developmentally of girls. This does not make them stupid or dumb. It makes them just different. Mm-hmm. And they have a need to get that energy out and to educate themselves in a very different way. They do it hands-on. They do it playing. They do it digging. They do riding bikes. They build ramps. They build forts. And these are the kinds of things that they like to do. You know, playing with the worms and the bugs and all that stuff, making mud pies. And girls like some of that too, but boys especially seem to the outdoors seem to be the place for them during these years. So you can take an unhurried approach, which is something I talk about in the book, but also in The Unhurried Homeschooler that I wrote several years ago. It's taking an approach that where you ease them in to schoolwork, bookwork, as they're ready. You're not dumping it all on them at once, and you're not doing it too soon before they actually show signs that they're ready. So that would be a key element in if you're starting out homeschooling boys.
I pause you there just for a second?
Sure.
So I hope you don't lose your train of thought here because you're going down a great path. But as you're talking about like knowing when they're ready for things, how do you know when they're ready to move on to the next thing or when they're ready to even jump into a new thing?
Right. Okay. So let's take reading, for example. One thing I learned to do over the years was wait. I just waited until my kids said, I'm ready to read. I want to read. Or if they're constantly asking me to read things for them.
Right.
And then I say, well, you know, and they would have to wait sometimes because they had siblings. I had stuff I was doing. They would get impatient. And I would say, well, you know, you could learn to read and then you wouldn't have to wait for me. So situations like that, you wait for them to just be really ready. And then sometimes they'll start out just like a horse out of the starting gate. And then all of a sudden they lose interest. Don't panic. It's not like they have to go 100 miles an hour to start with. You've got a little bit of a start. And this happened with our daughter. You start. And then she wasn't interested for a while. So we dropped it. She came back. She hadn't lost any progress at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, she was actually catching on quicker because we took the break she needed. So what we don't want to do is turn this into a battle because it will be a battle of the wills, especially with boys. It'll become something they need to conquer. And what we want to do is we want to be them to know we're on their side.
Yeah.
And we want to do things in a way that works for them. And that doesn't mean we're losing our authority with them. It just means they know we understand and value how they're put together. So they will eventually have a need to read. They will. They're going to want to know about things, and you can make it sound really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, well, you want to know. You could read all you wanted to know about this particular thing, dinosaurs or whatever. We just have to learn how to read, and it wouldn't even take very long. And off you go. You're off and running, and that does not put them behind in the long haul. In fact, it puts them ahead because you haven't burnt them out.
Yeah.
Which happens real quickly if we're not careful.
Yeah, which is so important with homeschooling because we tend to think. Like the way the traditional school schedule works and that, okay, they're 4 years old, 5 years old. They have to learn how to read right now or else they're behind. And we put so much pressure on ourselves and on our kids.
It's unnecessary.
And it just frustrates them.
You wait 1 year. I don't know that any of my kids did did kindergarten.
Right, right.
Kindergarten was life. It was playing. Right. It was learning to do chores. It was character formation. That's where the heavy part of the training needs to be, is on the character formation and learning to do chores. And, you know, they're learning so much from that, helping with their siblings. Don't feel guilty about that. That's a wonderful thing, to be teaching our kids how to care for, for those who are vulnerable. A baby is vulnerable. And now you get to teach your child how to take care of the vulnerable, which is what God calls us to as believers. So make no mistake, all of this is learning. All of it's learning.
I was getting this picture in my mind as you were talking about just waiting until they're ready. Mm-hmm. And you know how when we have newborn babies, like they have no interest in eating solid foods.
Right.
But eventually, you know, they hit 5, 6, 7, 8 months old and they start to notice that those around them are eating solid foods. And then they're starting to look. And at first it's just that little bit of interest, and then they start to open their mouths, and then they start to like reach for it. I mean, I think that's one of the cutest little things about babies is, you know, that they, with their mouth wide open, they're trying to reach for that spoon or whatever, you know, especially if you're holding them. And as they're developing, they're gaining interest in what real food tastes like.
Exactly. And that is a perfect example. You just see all these little signs.
Yeah.
It's not one big sign. It's just, I mentioned one about, you know, just waiting till they ask, but there are a lot of little things you can notice if you're a student of your child,
right.
And you know them, you're going to know when they're really starting to show some interest. So that is a perfect example.
Yeah. And I mean, praise God for homeschooling, because no school teacher in a classroom, no matter how good they are, how much they love your kids, no teacher can pay attention to your kid the way that you can as mom. I mean, and they're not going to cater to their needs the way that we can as their moms.
Exactly.
So let's take a break, though. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Dorinda. Dorinda, we were talking about homeschooling in the first part of this episode. Is there anything else that you were just like, okay, you had a homeschool mama sitting in front of you and you wanted to just give her some last words of encouragement? Specifically, when it comes to homeschooling boys, what would you say to her?
I would definitely say just know that he's going to do things very differently, and understand that when you run into obstacles in schoolwork, there's actually some questions that we can ask ourselves to help us sort of navigate whether we should continue to press or not. Some questions like this: does he need to know this? Because there are a lot of times things in curriculum that are just not really that necessary, like diagramming sentences. Like,
amen,
I gave my
sister.
Kids the option. Does this look interesting to you? Great. If not, fine, we'll move on. Does he need to know this now? Is there another way he can learn this, or a better time? For example, maybe he could learn the subject through something he's interested in or a real life scenario, because they really do learn so much better often through experience.
Right.
Is this a hill worth dying on, or is there a more important hill to spend time and energy on right now? And also, it can be helpful to include our boys in that process and by asking them a few questions, something like this: I've noticed that you're struggling with this. What is hard for you? And help them maybe identify it. What don't you like about this? Is there anything you do like about it? Do you have any ideas about how we could do this better, or what might be a better way for you to learn this, or whatever? So you're inviting them into the conversation. You're telling them, first of all, that their thoughts matter to you, that what they think about this matters, that you're on their team. You respect what they, their input, what, mm-hmm. what they have to say, and you're willing to work with them on it. And I think, and also you're teaching them how to process things. So as they move into adulthood, they're going to be able to ask themselves these questions and work through a lot of different things. So
yeah,
it's a great way to encourage lifelong learning, because what we're doing here is we're basically overcoming. We are conquering this obstacle in front of us. And here are some questions to ask ourselves to help us do that. And I think boys really appreciate that.
I think my favorite of those that you just listed is this hill worth dying on, because so many times as moms, and especially if you're one of those type A moms, you feel like you have to check the box.
Yes,
like you're not being a good enough homeschool teacher. You're not teaching your kids well enough if they don't check all the boxes and finish the lesson.
Yes.
I love that you talk about diagramming sentences. I've said this on the podcast. I hated diagramming sentences when I was in school. I still don't understand it.
Right.
And so my girls, you know what? They're great readers. They can write. They can speak English. Like, I don't need, but again, like some people really like the challenge of diagramming a sentence. Yeah. And so I'm not opposed to it. It's just something, I don't feel it's necessary in our home, but there are those moms who just feel like they have to check every box.
Yes.
And so they're forcing their kids, like,
yes,
you are going to finish this. And there are some things that, yes, it's necessary, especially when you have like math and science and some subjects like that, that kind of build on each, on, you know, the last lesson. Yeah, you can't just forego some of those things.
It needs to make sense.
That are not necessary.
It needs to make sense. It needs to be a conviction. Like you need to understand the purpose in it,
right,
and be able to convey that purpose, hopefully, to your child. They're not always going to understand, but if we can at least try, if they see that there's a purpose in it, then that matters, because then otherwise we're just asking for performance. We're not asking for a purpose-driven education, and that's what we want for our kids. And forced learning isn't real learning. Anyway, so as much as possible, if we can stay on a track that is meaningful to our kids, I think that's important. And also to remember that this is not about us.
Right.
This is about them. Yeah. What is actually best for them, no matter what it makes us look like, no matter how it makes us feel. And I think that's an encouragement that I would want to give to moms of boys.
Yeah.
Our boys are going to embarrass us sometimes. And so what we need to do is respond to them, not react. An emotional response. Our emotions are great. They're a gift from the Lord. They can be a warning light. They're a terrible GPS. So what we need to do is make sure that we are not, and I talk about this in the book, we are not emotionally parenting our children emotionally with our emotions.
Yeah.
And so, and this is so true with boys, because what can end up happening, especially in a mother-son relationship, is a whole lot of manipulation can start happening. We start piling on the guilt. They love us. And ultimately, they really do want to please us. And we can easily slip into that manipulation mode. And we have to be careful. We need to be careful that we're not doing that. One thing that I want to share about homeschooling and how it can look so different is I'm going to share a quick story about Jake. And some of you have heard this story, but some of you have not. Jake hated language arts, hated it, loved math, had a passion for it, was learning a ton on his own, because at a certain point, like seventh grade, I couldn't help him anymore. But he was so creative and so determined that he found some online resources and he made his way through it. But he really hated language arts, hated it. I made him read and write a summary every day, which he was willing to do. He didn't seem to have a problem with it, because it's something he'd done pretty much through all of his homeschooling years. I sometimes threw a little something extra in, but there was something about him that I knew if I drug him down a bunch of roads when it came to language arts and tried to force what I thought would be best for him, I was going to, one, ruin our relationship, and two, completely burn him out and make him hate learning altogether. Yeah. So we stuck with the simple. And then fast forward, this is like 12 when I'm panicking, right? We sort of fumble our way through the next few years. We're just kind of like, okay, we're just going to do the summaries. And I guess hopefully we'll be okay. Cause every time I tried more, it wasn't working. So anyway, he goes and he decides to start college. He wants to do the dual enrollment program. And so he takes his entrance exam. He aces it.
Wow.
Totally shocks me. He informs me that, "Mom, you taught us to speak well and you had us write summaries. That's all I needed." Okay, great, wonderful. So then he goes to his first English class, his first quarter. And The first thing the professor says is whatever you learned in high school, throw it all out because we do it differently here. Well, that wasn't a problem because he didn't have to unlearn anything. So that's always my hilarious story about learning to listen to the instincts that God has given you. Because I did pray my way through that and the Lord just kept telling me, just back off and let it go. And then he took off when he got into college and he had a goal. He wanted to become a software engineer, which he is now for Amazon. Yeah. And he, once he hit that first class, I mean, he learned all kinds of stuff that he didn't know before and got a B+ on his first paper. I read it. I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, this is an amazing paper. So there's your story. So just know it can look very, very different than what you think it's going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we pray our way through homeschooling our kids. Mm-hmm. We trust the Lord and he guides us as we help guide our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I think you probably did, but I feel like for myself and so many other moms that I talk to, I feel like we constantly live in this state of guilt. Like we're not doing it right. Mm-hmm. We're somehow messing it all up. Mm-hmm. And I still think that, you know, 13 years into this and I'm like, all right, come on, Yvette, when am I going to realize like I am doing what God's called me to do and I'm doing the best that I can and it's not perfect, but no classroom is perfect. No family is perfect.
It's
just
not.
Trusting the Lord.
It is. And honestly, I believe there's a bit of that tension that is actually healthy because it helps us be alert and prayerful. Lord, am I missing something? Is this you getting my attention or is this false guilt?
Right.
And so if we can, you know, just take that to the Lord and then be happy with his answer. And not go back and just go back into the same pattern. We need to be okay with, okay, I brought this to the Lord. He hasn't shown me anything. I'm just going to keep moving on. I remember one time my brother told me this and I loved it. He said, I was praying and praying and praying and asking the Lord to show me, what does he have for me next? What does he have for me next? And he said, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, what was the last thing I told you to do? Just keep doing that until I tell you to do something different. And I've kept that in my mind for years. I thought that was just really great. It's true. We almost get bored, especially with the culture we live in. It's constant new all the time. So plotting and just continuing to be faithful in what we already know can feel like it's not enough when it's actually a very big deal. It is enough. And it is what anchors our homeschooling. It's what anchors our kids. So never underestimate the value of plotting.
Oh, so good. Okay. So you real quick, I know we're way over time, but that's okay. I have two more questions I want to ask.
Okay.
Really quickly, you talked about just being prayerful over our homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And in your book, I know one of the things you talk about is praying over your boys.
Yes.
Talk really quickly about that. Okay. How did you pray? Because sometimes I know we're like, Lord, I don't even know the words to say. Right. I don't know what to do here. Yes. How did you pray over your boys?
Well, and that's where I think just tuning into your heart for your boys. What do you want for them? And then also praying scripture over them. So these are the things, and in the book, I expound on each of these things and give the scriptures. Most of them have scriptures to go with them, but I'll just go through them quickly because I know we're low on time. The first thing is that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength and love their neighbor as themselves. That they would grow in wisdom and stature. That they would seek justice, love kindness or mercy, and walk humbly with their God. That they would trust in the Lord with all of their hearts and not rely on their own understanding. I also prayed that their sin would find them out. And this held true so many times, and I was so thankful I prayed that prayer. And that God would prepare them for their wives and their wives for them, and that he would sanctify them and set them apart for each other and for themselves. For himself, and then that God would prepare our boys for the purposes and plans that he has for them. Amen. So those are just a few of the things that I pretty consistently prayed for. Not all of those things every day, but definitely pretty consistently, you know, alternated.
I love that. And you guys can, of course, get the rest of that, get more details, get Dorinda's book. If you're a boy mama, get her book. It's short. It's easy to read. You guys can, you know, you can find time to read this. I I've said this before, even recently on the podcast, so often I will hear from moms, I just don't have time to read.
Right.
But
right.
You have time for social media. If you have time for social media, you have time to read. And I mean, even if you read 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, it adds up so quickly. You read 10 minutes a day, and in a week you've read an hour, and you can read this book in a week. So
yes. Well, and you know, we're hoping we should have the audiobook available as well at the same time that the book is out. So, which should be right now. So, that's something we want to make available to moms as well. Cause I know I like to do things while I'm listening. That works better for some moms. Yes. So we're hoping to have both of those things.
Dishes, laundry, driving, whatever.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, we'll put those links, but, I want to rabbit trail really quickly because this question is on my heart, and I know that there is moms listening to this who would want an answer to the same question. As we've talked this week, we've talked about, you know, what it looks like to homeschool boys, and we talk about all the things and all the things that you can do to make it, you know, to be effective in your homeschooling and in your parenting. And I know that there are moms who are like, Dorinda, you don't understand what my home is like. You don't understand how out of control my boys are. You don't understand how hard this is. And I know this because I've talked to these moms before. How would you encourage that mom who's just at her wit's end? Her boys are out of control. She doesn't know how to bring them back. It's not as easy and flowery as it might have sounded this week. You know, well, all you got to do is just sit down next to them and explain to them, you know, that this is, you know, how we're going to do things from now on. Like, it's not always a cookie cutter approach to raising our boys. How would you encourage that mom or that dad who just is at their wit's end? They're like, I don't know even what to do. I need to put them back in school and have someone else raise them.
Yeah. No, I think what we need to do is not eat the whole elephant at once. Take one bite at a time. And where you need to start is prayerfully over your boys, which I'm sure you've been praying for them already, but specifically for direction and wisdom. And you need to do this with your husband. And you guys need to talk. I think I mentioned this earlier, but just talk about a plan of action. And prioritize, where do you want to start? It's going to, if it's that out of control, you're going to have to start with discipline. Your schoolwork may have to go off to the side for now. And what you're going to need to do is focus on character. And so this is going to be kind of like boot camp. It's going to look like maybe a lot of push-ups and sit-ups and a lot of physical work. That would be my biggest encouragement. Is a lot of times boys are difficult because they haven't exerted enough energy. It doesn't, I said it's a big deal when they're younger, but it is also a big deal when those hormones kick in. They need to conquer something. Always encourage hard work. There is something about a hard day's work that is incredibly effective in reaching the hearts of our boys. And again, we're going to do this lovingly. We're going to do this letting them know. And I, when I say lovingly, I know moms probably hear, I have to be have a soft tone. Not necessarily. Like, you can start out soft, but you also need to be very firm that this is what we are doing. And you need to follow through. Consistency is absolutely key. If you are not consistent, you will lose this battle and you will lose their respect. And so that's where, and I would honestly start with the respect issue. If they're not respecting you and your husband, that's a great place to start. They need to speak to you respectfully. And, you know, you can make things right with them if you feel that you have been disrespectful to them, or you have not been respectable because you haven't been holding the line like you should, like God tells you to in His Word. And this is the thing, moms, we are to obey God above all else. And God calls us to raise and train our children with discipline, with boundaries, to be consistent. And if we're not doing that, we're at a far worse place than just our kids turning out poorly. We're we're doing this before the God of the universe, who has called us to walk in obedience to Him, not because He's mean and nasty and just wants His way. It's because He knows it's what's best for us. It's what's best for our boys, and we don't want to lose our boys. And you can express that to them, like, look, we want things to be different around here, and talk with them about it and talk about what needs to be changed and be willing to make reasonable compromises, but keep the lines where you and your husband have decided the lines need to be. So it is worth the battle. It is worth it. It won't look perfect. It will not look perfect on any given day, but parenting never does. But just know that you are fighting a battle that's worth waging.
Amen. Oh, good stuff. Dorinda, thank you so much for sharing with us this week. Thank you for your heart and just for you're reaching people all over the world, and I love it. You also have a podcast. If you guys have not listened to Dorinda's podcast, It's fantastic. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Listen to her podcast, get her book. Again, this book is called Raising Boys to Men. And really quickly, Dorinda, what are your other books? I know you have a few other books that you've written.
I do. I have The Unhurried Homeschooler. Mm-hmm. It's a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling. Yep. And then I have The 4-Hour School Day. And then I also have Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, which is a devotional that I wrote for moms.
Love it. And I think we've done episodes with you on all of those books. So we'll put links to those episodes as well. So if you want to know a little bit more about what those books are about, you can go back and listen to those episodes with Dorinda on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. So Dorinda, thank you. I love you, friend.
You.
And I'm so grateful for your ministry and your heart. And thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast. And again, you can find everything at our website, schoolhouserocked.com, where you can also support us financially. Just click on that donate button and you can make a contribution there as well. And please continue to pray for our ministry. And if there's any way we can be praying for you, please let us know. We would love to do that. You can send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And it would be our privilege and our pleasure to pray for you and your family. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here next week. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout, and receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
I can't be at a point where I'm just going to burst out and yell at a six-year-old. You know, like, how ridiculous is that? But that's how pent up I was about this. If one day I'm doing really well, let's say I'm super patient with my child and, you know, they do something wrong, but I'm just like, oh, my lovey, you cannot do this. Here's why. You have that special sweet moment that we all picture in our minds.
Right. Of what
discipleship looks like. You know, you're sitting on the couch with your arm around your child and you're bounding to them what the scripture says. They don't always want to just have that lovey moment where you're sitting and explaining to them. So anyways, I picture, well, if I have the patience one day, then maybe I'm doing really well. And if I go, say, 10 days in a row and I'm doing really, really well, then I've really got something and I might start feeling good about myself. Like, okay, I'm like getting victory on this. Then something happens, you know? Something happens, like the child uses your sewing scissors or they throw out something or they break something that's special to you, or they have that bad attitude and they stick up their tongue at you. You know, those things, they argue with you. And you again lose your patience. I felt like you go from that high level of number 10 where you've gotten yourself doing really well, and then you shrink down to, say, a 0, 1, or something like that. You have to just keep climbing that ladder over and over